The unsurpassed, penetrating and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha. Homage to the Dharma. Homage to the Sangha. Today I'm going to talk a bit about meditation practice. Just some thoughts that I've had. We all know basically how to sit, and we all know more or less what we're supposed to be doing. And we all know that it's hard to do. Our form of meditation, serene reflection, shikantaza, just sitting, is hard to describe. It's very simple, and yet it's subtle and it's hard to grasp. But when it comes down to it, we kind of fall into it. It's hard to do it too deliberately. It's something that we just allow ourselves to fall into in a certain way. And it's different for everybody. Everybody meditates slightly differently. We all sit a little differently. We experience it quite differently. People have all kinds of different experiences of meditation. And for people who teach meditation, we may do it differently. We teach it a little differently. It's not a hard and fast thing. It's fluid and dynamic. For some people, meditation is simple. Sit down, look at a wall, fine. They seem to get it right away. And for others of us, maybe for most of us, it's hard. We can spend years trying to figure out what we're supposed to be doing or why we're constantly distracted and what are we supposed to be doing with our mind. And if I really want to meditate, why is it so hard and why do I keep getting distracted or falling asleep or why do I have pain or whatever it might be? It's just not an easy thing for many of us. Well, to practice serene reflection meditation is really jumping in the deep end. Because it's formless. Most meditation practices have more structure. You count your breaths, or you have a mantra, or a koan, or you visualize a bodhisattva or something, or you contemplate the parts of the body, or you reflect on death, all kinds of things that many traditions do in their meditation practice. And strictly speaking, we don't do any of these things. We just sit. However, sometimes it is useful to use some extra method to help us to anchor the mind. Because of the formlessness of our meditation, it's hard to grasp. So sometimes it's helpful for some of us to count the breaths if we're really distracted or we're just beginning. Or maybe do it occasionally when the mind's all over the place. Or maybe regularly at the beginning of meditation. And if it helps, it's fine. And eventually it's nice if we can let go of counting breaths and just sit. And for some of us, following the breath without counting works well. And some people do this throughout the whole of their practice, following the breath. Because it is a form of just sitting. We're anchoring the mind on the breath, going in and out. And even within this method, there's various ways of doing it. And for some people, using a simple mantra to concentrate the mind is helpful. Again, not all the time, but just when you're distracted or agitated or something. And various other ways we can help to focus the mind. But fundamentally, we just sit. Serene reflection meditation. The Dharma gate of repose and joy, as Dogen calls it. And actually, we're lucky Because although it's hard and subtle, it's a wonderful practice. And in fact, in many other forms of practice, eventually people come down to doing what we actually try to do from the start, which is to just sit. But it's hard to get to for many of us. As I said, some people do it naturally, some of us find it hard. So how do we just sit? Where do we put our energy and our focus? I found that the best thing for me, anyway, is to sit wholeheartedly in the body. Just sit in the body. There's a phrase that Rev. Master Daishin Morgan uses in one of his books, fully occupy your body. And I found this very helpful. Fully occupy your body. Put your energy into just sitting there in the body, the whole of the body. Not focusing on any part of the body, but sitting there in the whole of the body. Fully occupying the body. It's a vital, dynamic practice. We're not just sitting there passively, as if we're watching TV. We're sitting there with energy and a certain kind of effort. And it takes a while to get this. It takes a while for it to sort of mesh, as it were. But you put our energy into it. It's not in a forcing way. We're not trying to get something or to achieve something. We put our energy into it in a certain kind of way, sitting fully in the body. Part of this is we need to commit ourselves completely to just sitting here in this body, in this very moment. We have nothing to do, we have nowhere to go. All we have is this very moment, right now. And we need to invest in it fully. Because this is our very life, at this moment, right now. All we have is this moment, right here, in this body, in this breath. Uchiyama Roshi wrote a lovely book called Opening the Hand of Thought, which has some good instructions on meditation. And he says, doing zazen, or meditation, means taking the correct posture and entrusting everything to it. Entrusting everything to it. This doesn't mean we have to have some perfect posture, some perfect lotus posture. We can sit on a cushion, on a bench, on a chair. We can lie down, we can stand, we can walk. All of these things are pure meditation. If we commit ourselves to it fully, entrusting ourselves to it, it's this wholehearted commitment that is the point. And we keep coming back to being here in this body. Am I sitting up straight? Are my eyes open? Am I relaxed or am I knotted up in some way? If there are things we habitually slide into, leaning over to one side or hunching our shoulders or closing our eyes, we just need to check now and then to make sure that we're upright, relaxed, alert, but not constantly worrying about our posture, just being aware of what we're doing, that we are sitting up straight, awake, alert, and yet not tense, not forcing, not trying to get something. It's sort of putting our whole vitality into it and then relaxing ever so slightly. So we're not striving against something. We're not trying to push our way through some door. We're just sitting wholeheartedly in this very body, in this very breath. Putting our energy into sitting in the body and not worrying too much about what the mind is up to. This is why I think sitting in the body is so helpful, because we can get all wound up in our mind and thinking about thinking about thinking. When we notice we're distracted, just come back. We don't have to get all worried about what we're thinking about, or worried that we're thinking, or worried that we shouldn't be thinking, and all this. Just come back. Just to relinquish the grip and come back. Easier said than done. Sometimes we're in turmoil about something. We're upset about what someone's done or what we've just done. Or we're confused and afraid. Or we just have a lot of emotion coming up. And this is all fine. We don't have to fix it. We don't have Not trying to calm the mind. Don't try to calm the mind, because it's kind of like trying to smooth out pancake batter with your hands. You just get it all sticky and everywhere. It makes it much worse. Just leave it be and let it settle of itself. Even if it doesn't seem to settle down right away, just to leave it be as best we can. Not pushing things away, but just not stirring them up. Not pushing away the feelings or trying to squash them down. Just let them come up and kind of go through. As I said, easier said than done. Because sometimes turmoil just seems to go on and on. We're really upset about something and we chew it over and over and over and we can't seem to let it go. Just be patient. Just let it come up. And try not to feed it with the mind. I think this is the thing. Not to try to stop it coming up, but not to feed it with the mind. If we're angry, it doesn't help to keep going over and over and over the event or thinking about what we're going to say to the person next time we see them or justifying ourselves in some way or all that. That just feeds it and makes it worse. But to let the anger be there without feeding it, let it be there in the body, to just feel it in the body, accept it with kindness and let it be there. It's not a problem that has arisen. It's what we do with it that counts. Neither holding on nor pushing away. Neither gripping on and feeding it nor trying to squash it down or get rid of it, thinking it's bad. Sitting in the body with whatever is there, with patience and not with judgment, with kindness to ourselves and to others. Patience, kindness, compassion. Not thinking I shouldn't be like this, I should be calm, I'm supposed to be meditating. Just to let it all come and go with kindness and acceptance as best we can. Not always easy. We just do our best and trust that that will work, that is sufficient because it is. A lot of the time, we simply have thoughts arise, not particularly emotional thoughts, but just thoughts, distracting thoughts. And we tend to follow them. You know, oh, I should have done this. Oh, I need to do that. Oh, this other thing had happened the other day. You know, just pulled off just by the endless drooling mind. And when we notice we've got distracted, just come back. When our intention is just to sit, when this is the most important thing we are doing at this moment, our distraction vanishes in an instant. We notice we're distracted. Oh, just come back. And it just disappears because it has no reality. It's just a thought. It's not a real thing. It's just our thinking mind. And when we notice, oh, just come back. When we're invested in our thinking, it's harder to let it go. I really need to remember to do such and such. Or I really must sort out this problem. Then it sticks to us. But if we can just trust that the most important thing right now is to sit here, no matter what, and that we can attend to all these other things later, and just trust that, then we can come right back and we aren't pulled off so much. We don't get stuck in our thoughts so much. There is a matter of will here. And yet it's not just will, but it's definitely part of it. It can be quite hard to relinquish something that we've just thought of and feel is really important. And when you see, oh, what is really important? Just sit right here, right now, and let everything else fall into place after that. To commit ourselves to simply sitting here in this body and not grasping after our thoughts. Opening the hand of thought, as Jiyama Roshi calls it, relinquishing the grip, because it's gripping onto the thoughts that's the problem. Then we follow them and get pulled off. But if we just open that hand, relinquish our grip, and see that they are not the most important thing, then they just slide right through and we're not pulled around by them. Great Master Dogen, in Rules for Meditation, I think one of the most important, I think the most important section in this whole thing he writes is, sit steadily, neither trying to think nor trying not to think. Just sitting with no deliberate thought is the important aspect of serene reflection meditation. This is just what we've been talking about, neither sitting steadily, neither trying to think nor trying not to think. As Sub Reverend Master Ji put it, and it's a really helpful way to look at it. You're not investing in your thoughts and you're not trying to push them away. Neither trying to think nor trying not to think. Just sitting with no deliberate thought is the important aspect of serene reflection meditation. Sitting steadily in the body, wholeheartedly, just sitting fully present in this moment with this breath right now. We're not trying to attain some perfectly controlled state where we have no distracting thoughts. We tend to think we should be in some perfect samadhi where we're just peaceful and blissful. But we're not trying to get to some perfect place. Our meditation is dynamic, it's constantly moving and flowing. We sit still, and yet there is this constant dynamic flow. As I sometimes have said, it's like sailing a boat. You're not just sitting there solidly in one place. You're constantly moving, constantly adjusting to the wind, to the slight movements of the body and the mind. It's continually something that we're doing, coming back to the body, sitting still, sitting upright, entrusting ourselves to the posture, to the practice, to our own commitment, to our effort. We keep coming back to this place of just sitting here in this body. We're constantly going and coming. Someone I know who's been meditating for many, many years, not in our tradition, but in a similar sort of Zen tradition, said, it seems I'm always going away and coming back. Not locked into some perfect static place. And this person is deeply devoted to meditation, has been doing it for many, many years, sits for long hours, and sits like a rock, impressive, and yet always going away and always coming back. Always distracting thoughts can arise, and always the person brings himself back. It's dynamic, constantly moving. You're never there. Here I am, I've arrived. You're always going on, going on. Always becoming Buddha. Always continuing our training. It's never perfect or satisfied. This is fine. Now I know what I'm doing and I can just lock down in this position and here we are. We're always having to make that effort, the adjustment to the wind. Don't get discouraged if meditation seems really hard. I know all about meditation seeming really hard. It still works. Don't worry about the thoughts, my meditation is terrible, or I'm no good at this. Don't worry about it. It still works. This is the wonderful thing about it. Despite our best effort, despite our view, despite the ideals we may have, despite our expectations, it still works. It changes us in a profound and subtle way. We don't know how it works, it just does. We just have to get out of the way and let the meditation do its work. We set up the conditions. We try our best to do our part. And something else does the rest. There is something that helps us. Sometimes it seems that we fall easily into meditation, and sometimes we're just struggling to stay awake, or we're just constantly distracted, and we can get discouraged. But do not worry, because it still works, it still helps us. There is something that helps us, that is more than just our little struggling self trying to do its best. There is something bigger that helps. We need to let go of all expectation of ourselves, of our meditation practice, all ideals or standards. We're not trying to get something. We're not trying to get anything. We're not trying to have experiences or get enlightenment. If we have experiences of insight or blissful states or anything else, it's fine. They can be very helpful as long as we don't grab at them and try to hold on to them or try to get them back. Sometimes somebody has an experience in meditation and they try to get back to it and it never works. You never get back to it because you're always moving forward. It's like trying to get back to that point on the sea you just left. It's gone. Just keep moving forward. We can't get back to the moment before. We can never go back to something that happened. We just have to keep moving forward. And to try to get back to something or try to get something back is missing the point. Or trying to grab onto something, some ideal that we have of what meditation should be like. It's not like that. All we can do is set up the conditions, doing our part. Just try to do our best. And trust it. To have faith in the practice. The meditation does us. It's not like us doing the meditation. It's bigger than us. It works in spite of us. Our way is the gradual way. It's not a quick fix. There isn't a quick fix. Meditation can make a huge difference in our lives, and quite quickly. But its effects are subtle and profound, and they can take years to ripen. It's not the dramatic experiences and insights that help us most. They can take years to understand and make use of and incorporate into our lives. And that's done through our daily practice. our daily meditation, our daily training in sitting still, keeping to the precepts, all the things we do. And many of us don't have dramatic experiences at all. We just keep on doing the training faithfully. And that is what counts, the faithful daily practice, daily meditation, daily keeping to the precepts, daily trying to put the meditation into practice in all the things we do. Faithfully, without expecting something, but giving ourselves to it. We're not trying to get something. We are giving ourselves to something completely. The more we give ourselves to our practice, the more it rewards us. But we don't do it to get rewards. The other day I was talking to somebody about their job and how rewarding it is to work just for the sake of doing the job well and not for the sake of rewards, of getting a lot of money for it. This joy in doing a good job for its own sake, giving ourselves to it and doing our best. And meditation and training are like this. We do it for its own sake, not to get something out of it. And there is joy in it. The more we give ourselves to it, the more it rewards us. And yet we don't do it to get rewards. We don't do it because of expectations or ideals. We do it because it is good to do. We do it because it is our true heart's desire. And all of us know this. We train because we have to train, because it's what we need to do. It's the purpose of our life, fundamentally. To follow that true heart desire, to go where it leads us, without expectation, without ideals, without seeking some perfect static place of something. But just to keep on faithfully walking the way, because it is good to do, because it is our true heart's desire. Sitting still as best we can in meditation, in daily life, just doing our best. Serene reflection meditation, the Dharma gate of repose and joy. May it be so for all of us as we give ourselves to it. Homage to all the Buddhas and all worlds. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas and all worlds. Homage to the scripture of great wisdom.